What is God's universal will? That's what God wants for your life, no matter who you are or where you are. Okay? Do y'all remember God's universal will? It's three things I talked about. Number one, it's God's will for you to be saved. Let me clear that up now. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So it is ultimately, first and foremost, the will of God for you to turn away from sin and give your life to Jesus Christ and let Him save you. That's number one. If you miss number one, you miss it all. But it's more than that. Number one. Number two is God's will for you to be holy. God doesn't save you so you can go back to the same lifestyle that you were living before. God saves you so He can transform you into a man of God or woman of God. So God has called us to be holy. If you're a part of the family of God, there should be some family resemblance. Amen? So as we are children of God, then God wants us to be like Him. And number three is God's will for you to be thankful. So that's God's universal will. Last week I talked about God's situational will. In other words, God, what is your will in this particular situation? And today I'm going to talk about a third aspect of the will of God. I'm going to talk about God's vocational will. In other words, what job has God called you to do for His kingdom? So let's look at God's vocational will. The first thing you need to know is that God has a kingdom assignment for you. Let me say that again. God has a kingdom assignment for you. Who, me? Yeah, you. God has a kingdom assignment for every one of us. Blaise Pascal, the French philosopher, once said that there is a void, a God-shaped void in the human heart that only He can fill. But this morning, I would assert to you that there is a U-shaped hole in the kingdom of God that only you can fill. Because God created you unique. I don't know if you've noticed, but you're the only one. Okay, I've got 10-year-old nieces, and they are twins. And even though they're twins, they are uniquely different. You see, God made every one of us unique, and He created every one of us for a purpose in the kingdom of God. Listen, you need God. I think anybody say, I need God? Will you just admit that this morning? Listen, it's easy to understand that you need God, but I got a news flash for you this morning. God needs you too. God needs you too. You need Him, but He needs you because He created you to do a special work in His kingdom. God created you for a special assignment. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." You were created for good works. Look at somebody and smile at them and notify them. Come on, tell them, I was created for something good. Oh, come on, you can do better. You need to brag about that. Come on, tell them, hey, I was created for something good. That's right. Yes, you were. That's what the Bible says. God created you for good works that He's already prepared ahead of time. In other words, you have a kingdom assignment. Okay, and some of you are probably thinking, well, if God has a purpose for my life, then how do I get there? Well, this morning I'm going to share some truths that will help you understand your God-given purpose and help you get there, all right? Let me start this by saying God doesn't give us the whole picture all at once, okay? You are not going to be out in the field one day and lightning's going to strike your brain and all of a sudden you're going to see everything that God wants you to do your whole life. I wish it worked that way, but actually, if we're going to be honest this morning, that's a good thing. Because if He did show you the whole picture, you probably wouldn't believe Him anyway. Listen, if it happened in the Bible, it could happen to you, because God told Abraham, you and Sarah are going to have a child, and the Bible says that Sarah laughed at God. She said, I'm a 90-year-old woman. How's there going to be a baby up in here? Listen, there is a reason that school buses don't drop off kids at nursing homes, because you reach a certain age where you don't have children anymore. And Sarah laughed at God. But listen, God has a way of calling us to do things that are impossible for us. You see, God will put things inside of us that we didn't even know existed, because God created us for good works that He prepared ahead of time. So God won't show you the whole picture all at once. Listen, I like the way Rick Warren put it. Rick Warren said that God's will is like a scroll. You see, in ancient Egypt, when they would make a scroll, a papyrus scroll, it would be 30 feet long. But when they read a scroll, they wouldn't roll out all 30 feet and read all 30 feet at once. No, they would unroll it just a little bit at a time, just a phrase by phrase, paragraph by paragraph. And that's how God reveals His purpose for your life. He won't give you the whole scroll at one time. He'll give you a little bit here, a little bit there. Listen, that's exactly how it happened in my own life. I knew at an early age that God was calling me to ministry, but guess what? I didn't know how or when or where or why. And if you're here today and you're wondering, what in the world does God want me to do with my life? Listen, I've been there, and I'm here to help you this morning, okay? You see, God's plan for your life is like a scroll. He won't show you everything. He'll show you a little bit at a time. And God does that for a reason, because we as human beings, we like to rush into things. If God showed us all 30 feet, I'd be reading, but like, man, forget the first 29 feet. I want to go ahead and skip to the good part. You see, God only lets us have a little bit at a time, because He knows that we get ahead of ourselves and we tend to take things into our own hands. I heard the story about two guys who decided to go ice fishing. So they head out and they find a nice spot on the ice. They cut a hole in the ice and they drop a line in the water. And then they hear a voice from above, a loud thundering voice, saying, "There are no fish here." And they looked up and he said, "Did you hear that?" And he said, "Yeah, I heard it. Did you hear it?" "Yeah." So they got up and they went to another spot in the ice and they cut a hole in the ice and they dropped a line in the water. And then they heard a voice above them saying, "There are no fish here." He said, "Well, I'm hearing that voice again. I guess they know what they're talking about. We better move." So they move again. And this time the voice was even louder saying, "There are no fish here." And then finally, one of them looked up and said, "Is that you, God?" And the voice said, "No, I'm the ice rink manager. There are no fish here." Come on, tell somebody, don't take things into your own hands. Listen, God won't tell us the whole picture, because He knows we can't handle it. Either we'll be so intimidated that we don't do it, or we'll be so ambitious that we'll jump ahead and mess it up. So here's what God does. He gives us a little bit at a time, so we'll rely on Him instead of taking things into our own hands. So this morning, I'm going to give you 6 things that will help you discover your kingdom assignment. And don't panic, it's 6 things, but it's going to be quick, all right. 6 things that will help you find your kingdom assignment. Number 1, the Bible. Somebody say the Bible. I talked about this last week, and I talked about it 2 weeks ago. God will never tell you to do anything contrary to His Word. Never, ever, 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 okay? When God speaks to you about your purpose and about your plan for your life, it will always agree with what the Bible says. Listen, if you need guidance, the Bible will guide you. Because it is a powerful, it is not just a book, it is the very living Word of God. Psalm 119:105, David said, "Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So if you want to be on track with God's plan for your life, make sure you're living in obedience to the Word of God. So number one, the Bible. Number two, wise counsel. Wise counsel. I'm talking about wisdom from godly people. Psalm 37, verse 30 says, the godly offer good counsel. They teach right from wrong. Proverbs 15, 22 says that plans fail for a lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Listen, I remember, have you ever seen the warning on TV? Do not try this on your own. Okay, let me give you that warning about Christianity. Do not try it on your own because, listen, God will send mature Christians. He'll send godly people to speak wisdom and truth into your life. The Bible says that iron sharpens iron. So if you want to know what your purpose in life is, talk with mature Christians and tell them what you're feeling and listen to their wisdom. But let me warn you, seek godly advice. But don't let people talk you into something. The purpose of wise counsel is to give you feedback about what you're feeling, not to tell you what to feel. Okay, so go to people for advice about what God is dealing with you about, but don't let them tell you what you need to do. Okay, people tried to tell me at an early age that I was going to be a businessman, that I needed to go into business. And listen, I just want to tell them, you better shut up. I'm just a nerd with big glasses. That's why you're telling me that. I didn't say that. I was just thinking that. Y'all keep secrets, can't you? I'm just being real with you this morning. Listen, people will try to tell you this and tell you that. But listen, you cannot let people tell you what to do. You have to listen to the voice of God. Several years ago, I met with a guy. He sat down and he said, Pastor Josh, I think I might be called to kids ministry. I said, really? Why do you think that you might be called to kids ministry? He said, well, you know, a lady that I work with told me the other day, she said, God is calling you to children's ministry. I said, well, what do you feel about it in your heart? He said, I really don't know. Well, you know, what is God telling you about that? I really don't know. I said, okay, let's break it down. Do you like children? He said, no, I can't stand children. I'll be in public. I'll be eating at a restaurant, and kids will be running all. I just want to shake them and say, sit down and be still. I looked at him and said, well, I think we can take children's ministry off the list because I don't think you're called to kids ministry. So listen, don't go and do something just because somebody else tells you. You have to feel that in your heart and have peace about it in your own self. Amen? So that's the purpose of wise counsel. If you feel like God is or is not calling you or telling you to do something, seek wisdom from mature Christians and they'll help you, all right? So how do we discover our kingdom assignment? Number one, the Bible. Number two, wise counsel. Number three, talents and abilities. God created you for a purpose, and the talents and abilities that you have, okay, your unique personality, the way you think, the way you interact with people, the way that you respond in certain situations, all of these things are connected to the purpose that God created you for. Listen, have you ever wondered why you're wired the way you're wired? It's because God wired you that way for a purpose in the kingdom of God. Let me give you an example. I recently heard a story about a young woman who's a missionary overseas. And she gave her testimony about how she ended up on the mission field. She was a young college student, and she knew that God had a purpose for her life, but she didn't have any idea what that purpose was. So one day, a visiting missionary came to her church and sat down, and they were talking after service, and he said, well, tell me a little bit about yourself. Tell me what you're good at. She said, well, you know, I never realized this until I went to college, but since I've been in school, I found that I connect well with people from other cultures. I'm involved in the international dorm at my college, and I just seem to connect really, really well with people from other parts of the world. And the missionary got a big smile on his face and said, well, tell me more. What sort of things do you like to do? She said, well, I love to travel, especially to countries I've never been to. I love to travel and see the world. And he looked at her and he said, you know what? God might be calling you to be a missionary. Because God gave you that ability to connect with people from other cultures, and God gave you that desire to travel to other countries, so he just may be calling you to the mission field. You see, God uses our unique abilities that he gave them to us for a purpose in his kingdom. Maybe if you're very, very gifted at explaining things to people, maybe God's calling you to teach. Maybe if you're good at fixing things and putting machinery together, maybe God's called you to be a mechanic. Maybe you are a stay-at-home mom, and maybe your kids are grown, and now you don't know what to do with your life. Maybe God is calling you to be a mentor to young mothers, because Lord knows they need it. Amen? This world is changing quickly, and listen, there is a shortage of godly men and women to mentor the next generation. But whatever it is, those things that you're good at, where do you think they came from? They came from Jesus, because God created you for a purpose. So God gives us all different gifts to be used in different ways. And no matter who you are, God is giving you something to be used for his kingdom. But Pastor, I don't have any skills. I don't have any talents. I'm not good at anything. Listen, you're good at something, I promise you. Because the Bible says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God knit you together in your mother's womb. And there is something he's put inside of you to be used for his glory. I know of two ladies at First Assembly of God in Wilmington, North Carolina. Every week, they come out every Thursday and they make sandwiches to give to the needy. I don't know about you, but I can make a sandwich. If you can make a sandwich, come on, raise your hand. I'm going to call you next time I get hungry and say, I'm just kidding. But listen, they said, well, you know, we don't have any extraordinary talents or abilities, but you know what? God has given us the ability to make a sandwich, and if that's all we can do, then that's what we're going to do for the glory of God. And you know what? God is using them to make an impact in people's lives for the gospel. How do we discover our kingdom assignment? Number one, the Bible. Number two, wise counsel. Number three, talents and abilities. And number four, desires. I'm not talking about sinful desires. I'm talking about the deepest desires of your heart. The desires that God put inside of you before you were ever born. Let me give an example in my own life. When I was little and I was a nerd with big glasses, for some reason, I really, 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 really wanted to learn how to play the piano. And you know, my wife and I don't know if I've shared this, but my wife and I, we grew up next door to each other. And listen, I did not have a piano, and they had a piano. So there might have been some ulterior motives there. But listen, I would go to her house, and I would play the piano till her dad yelled at me and said, get out of here, stop playing the piano. Because something inside of me just craved, I deeply desire to know how to play the piano. And I come from a family of guitar players. So when I said, Dad, I want to play piano, he said, son, I'm so glad that you want to play the guitar. Let me show you a song. They just ignored that. They said, the devil is a liar. We're going to have no piano player in this house, because everybody, I'm talking about my extended family, they all play guitar. So I was the black sheep of the family. I was ostracized for being the piano player, but that's all right. But listen, I had that desire inside of me, not for me. God gave me that desire because that was part of my kingdom assignment. You see, God will deposit desires in your heart, and you might not know where they come from. You might not know why they are there. Let me tell you why they are there. Listen to the words coming out of my mouth this morning. God put them there for your kingdom assignment so you can use that for his glory. Somebody recently told me that they have a desire to be a paramedic. Now, that one is very near and dear to my heart because just 3 weeks ago, my wife and I, my wife's uncle, who has been, he grew up in a Pentecostal church, but they were very harsh and they were very legalistic. So as soon as he was old enough to get out of the house, he ran from God. Isn't that a shame how people can be so hard on people that they don't run away from the people, they run away from God. But that's what he did. And for years and years and years, we have been praying for his salvation. We have been praying for him to come back to Jesus Christ. And do you know that after 40 years of running from God, 3 weeks ago, he was driving down the road and a dump truck backed into the road and hit him. He was in the ambulance. And do you know that a paramedic led him to Christ in the back of that ambulance on the way to the hospital? Listen, God, you don't even know why God puts that desire in your heart. You might not even know why you have the job that you have, or why you have the degree that you have, or why you have the training that you have, but God gave you that desire for his kingdom and for his glory. How do we know our kingdom assignment? Number one, the Bible. Number two, wise counsel. Number three, talents and abilities. Number four, desires. Number five, opportunities. Come on, look at somebody and tell them, opportunities. Sometimes God will send big opportunities your way. But most of the time, God sends small opportunities. You see, so many times when we think about our purpose and our plan and God's grand scheme for our lives, we think about big open doors and big opportunities. But I've found that God doesn't start with the big opportunities. He sends you small opportunities. I think about David in the Bible. David was just a young boy when Samuel anointed him to be king over Israel. Think about this young man, all of a sudden one day he was a little shepherd boy tending sheep in the field, and they call him in, and boom, he finds out God has called you to be the king of Israel. That is your kingdom assignment. Now think about that. David had a big assignment, but guess what his first opportunity was? I'll give you a clue. It wasn't to be king over Israel. You see, Israel was at war, and David wasn't even old enough to fight. So his older brothers were on the front lines, and Jesse calls his son David and says, David, I have an opportunity for you. Go take this cheese to your brothers on the front line. You see, David knew that he was called to be king, but he had to be cheese boy first. God doesn't start with the big opportunities. He starts with the small opportunities. So you need to learn to recognize when God gives you a chance to work and to serve and to make yourself available. That little opportunity may very well be the key to your big opportunity in life. Because you see, David, little cheese boy, he took the cheese down to the front lines of battle, and there happened to be an enemy by the name of Goliath taunting Israel. Here was David holding the cheese, looking around and saying, somebody needs to do something about that. So you know what David did? He threw down the cheese and he went and confronted Goliath, defeated the enemy of Israel. And you see, if David had not humbled himself to be a servant, to carry food to his brothers, God would have never opened up the door for him to defeat Goliath. You see, God will send you small opportunities that may very well be the key for breakthrough in your life. If God has called you to start a pregnancy crisis center, you know what? The first opportunity you might get might be to volunteer at the nursery on Sunday morning at Goldsboro First Assembly of God Incorporated. You see, God will give you opportunities to serve before he'll trust you to lead. David could have said, Daddy, I am the future king of Israel. I ain't gonna carry no cheese to the front lines to my brothers. You see, he could have been arrogant about it. He could have said, well, you know what? I haven't got a job because I'm holding out for a management position. No, David made himself available to God. And because he was willing to serve, God opened up the big opportunity for him later on. Do you see how that works? If David had refused to humble himself and serve, he never would have become the king. How do we discover our kingdom assignment? Number one, the Bible. Number two, wise counsel. Number three, talents and abilities. Number four, desires. Number five, opportunities. And here's the last one. Number six, obvious needs. Obvious needs. Obvious to who? Obvious to you. Listen, the thing that bothers you the most may very well be the problem that God created you to solve. I'm going to say that again. The thing that bothers you the most may very well be the problem that God created you to solve. Let me ask you this morning, what really breaks your heart about this world? What is it about this world that we live in that really gets under your skin? What is it that really breaks your heart that may very well be the thing that God has called you and created you to address? Maybe it's children who are being neglected or abused. Maybe it's women who are suffering in abusive relationships. Maybe it's the young women in our community who are involved in the sex trade. Maybe it's people who struggle with homosexuality. Maybe it's men and women who are bound by addiction. Maybe it breaks your heart to think about kids being bullied at school. Maybe it's those children who have no food to eat. Whatever breaks your heart, that may very well be the thing that God created you to do something about. No matter what it is, I want you to think about it this morning. What breaks your heart the most? And if you don't know how to figure this out, let me tell you how to figure it out. When it bothers you and you don't feel like anybody else cares about it, the reason that you see the problem more than those around you is because God created you to help fix that problem in Jesus' name. Listen, God gave you that burden. He put it deep down in your soul. And if you open up your heart to God, He'll turn your misery into a ministry. How do we discover our kingdom assignment? Through the Bible, through wise counsel, through talents and abilities, through desires, through opportunities, and through obvious needs. This morning you've heard how to discover your kingdom assignment. I believe that the Holy Spirit has even begun to speak to some of you here in this place this morning. Now I'm going to issue you a challenge. Now that you're discovering your kingdom assignment, it's time to do something about it. Don't just think about it. Don't just talk about it. Don't just daydream about it. But do something about it. You say, well, I don't know where to start. It's okay to start small. It's okay to start small, but it's important that you start. Start somewhere. If you don't know where to start, start here. There are many opportunities for you to make your life useful for the kingdom of God right here at First Assembly. There are many opportunities right here, right now. It may be that maybe your heart breaks for children in need. Let me tell you something. You can start right here at church because there are 50 children, 12 and under, who come here every single Sunday. 50 children, ages 12 and younger. And you know what? We need people to come in and to help feed them breakfast at 10:30 in the morning. We need people to be mentors to them, to love them, to encourage them. Many of our children don't have a mother or don't have a father in the home. You don't know where to start? Start right here. Listen, I know it's not in the Bible, but it's a good saying. There's an old saying that charity starts at home. If you want to make a difference for the kingdom of God, if you want to use your life and your talents and your abilities, start right here. If you're friendly and if you know how to smile, guess what? We can use you to be an usher or a greeter. Some of y'all hadn't smiled since 1973, but some of y'all love to smile. You're smiling all the time. God gave you that smile. Use it for the kingdom of God. Some of y'all that hadn't smiled since 73, come on, you need to brush the dust off of that smile and start smiling again and using it for the glory of God. Because let me tell you something, we have hurting people coming here every week. You don't know what people are going through. You don't know what a difference a simple smile could make. Listen, when we were in Wilmington, North Carolina, I'll never, ever forget this. On a Sunday morning, a woman walks into service, and somebody was standing at the door and smiled at her and said, "God bless you." Then she walked a little bit further, and somebody came up and gave her a hug. They don't know me, and they're hugging me. This lady came up and hugged her, and she said, "God loves you, and I love you too." Do you know that that woman fell to her knees and began to weep? She said, "I just dropped off my boys at my mama's house." She said, "I was going to drive down Carolina Beach Road, and I was going to drive my car off a snow-cut bridge and kill myself today. But something told me that I need to pull into that parking lot, and I need to walk in that door. And I'm so glad I did, because you just saved my life." Don't tell me that you can't do something for God. If you can smile at somebody, if you can hug somebody, if you can tell them that God loves you, if you can let them know that you love them, listen to me. God gave you that ability to use for His glory, for His kingdom. If all you can do is smile, then that's all that God needs to change somebody's life. If you don't know where to start, you can start right here. I don't know if you've noticed, but we have a safety team that patrols our campus on Sunday mornings. We're looking for medical professionals. We're looking for people with a military background. We got any folks with some military background in Goldsboro? I know not, right? Come on. We're looking for some people who are willing to help with our safety team to make sure that our kids are safe, to make sure that everything is up to speed. Listen, we could use you. If nothing else, you could meet me at Fairview Park Saturday at 10 o'clock. In fact, I dare you, I double dog dare you to come down to Fairview Park and meet me at 10 o'clock this Saturday. Just come with a willing heart and watch what God will do with your life. Listen, you can't change the whole world, but you can do something. You can't do it all today, but you can do something today. Listen, you are valuable. I'm getting ready to preach a series starting in just a couple weeks called Every Life Matters. Listen, you don't even realize how valuable you are to God. God made you. You were not made in a factory. You were not made in a machine. God, Bible says that God made you by hand. That means that God Himself, the creator of the universe, took time to form every piece of you and every part of you. Your personality, the way you think, the way you act, your talents, your abilities, your gifts. God gave you. He gave your life a purpose, and He gave your life a plan. Start small. Start here. Start today in Jesus' name. Before we leave this morning, I want to do something very important. I want to talk to those of you who have not given your life to Jesus. Listen, God loves you, and God created you. God has a purpose and a plan for your life, but the only way to truly discover your destiny is through Jesus Christ. The only way to walk in your destiny is to turn away from a lifestyle of sin and trust in Jesus this morning. Listen, Jesus died on the cross to save you from your sins. He died on the cross to give you eternal life. When does eternal life start? It doesn't start when you die. It starts right now. The moment that you give Jesus Christ your heart, the Bible says that you are a new creation, you are born again, you have eternal life. If you're here today and you have not made the decision to give your life to Jesus, don't leave this morning until you've made that choice. So many people, and I hear it all the time, they say, "Pastor, I would live for Jesus just as soon as I get my act together. I'd give my life to Him as soon as I stop cussing, as soon as I stop drinking, as soon as I stop going to the club, as soon as I stop smoking weed, then I'll come and serve Jesus." Listen, If you wait till you clean yourself up, you'll never come. Jesus said, you come to me just the way that I am. Listen, I don't care how messed up you are, you come to me. All your faults, all your failures, all your sin, all your mistakes, you come to me, give your life to me, and I'll take care of the rest. You see, God made us. He's the only one that can fix us. God created us. We can't fix ourselves. We have to come to Him. Whatever problems you're facing in your life today, trust in Jesus. He'll heal you. He'll forgive you. He'll restore you. He'll put back together the broken pieces of your life and make something beautiful of your life. I don't care how far you've run from God. I don't care how far in the world you've gone. God created you for a purpose, and that purpose never leaves your life. You surrender your life to Jesus today, and I promise you, you will fulfill the purpose and the destiny that God created you for. Let's close our eyes for just a moment and pray before we end the service today. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I'm not trusting in Jesus. I want to trust in Him today. Will you raise your hand? I want to pray for you this morning. Say, Pastor, pray for me. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Father, I pray for those who are here this morning. I thank you that they're not here by accident. They're not here by mistake. But Lord, you led them here. Lord, I pray for those who are listening by CD and over the internet. God, I thank you that you love them and that you care for them. And that it's not an accident or coincidence that they're listening to this message today. But God, I thank you that you have led them to this point because today is their day of decision. Today is the day they choose life. Today is the day they choose Jesus. Today is the day that they'll be born again. God, I thank you for loving them. I thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross to save them. I thank you, God, that you raised Jesus from the dead and that he's alive forevermore. That he's in this place ready to save, to deliver, to heal, to set free. I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. You're here this morning and you know you need to make that decision. Listen, don't live another day under the guilt of sin. Surrender your life to Jesus today and let him set you free. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer, and I want my whole church family, come on, let's pray this prayer out loud together. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus, I come to you just the way that I am. Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my mistakes. Come into my heart. Jesus, wash my sins away. Make me brand new. And with the help of your Holy Spirit, I'll live for you the rest of my life. I'll live for you the rest of my life. I will fulfill my kingdom assignment in Jesus' name. If you pray that prayer, the Bible says that angels are throwing a party in heaven this morning, rejoicing over one who came home to Christ today.